And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. As a tragic situation unfolding in southeastern North Carolina over the weekend really tops our news this morning. We will also take a look at the tropics as well, some changes in the forecast for some tropical activity across the region. A lot to get into this morning, including a House Judiciary Committee meeting that will be taking place in Charlotte today as well. So a lot to get into. But we do start off in Southport, North Carolina, unfortunately, where three people are dead, multiple injured after a late-night shooting, according to the Southport Police Department. This happened Saturday night at the American Fish Company restaurant in Southport. Three people were killed, at least eight injured, according to the Southport Police Chief and Todd Corning. And we do have a suspect in custody, that individual, Nigel Edge. According to those documents, Edge is charged with three counts of first-degree murder, five counts of attempted first-degree murder, and five counts of assault with a deadly weapon. He is accused of using a short-barrel AR rifle with a suppressor, folding stock, and scope to shoot from a boat that was in the intercoastal there into the restaurant, the American Fish Company restaurant, where he would then go on and unfortunately end up killing three and injuring at least six. I've heard different reports between six and eight. Law enforcement, including the Southport Police Chief and the Brunswick County Sheriff, did hold a press conference yesterday. If this happened in the middle of the day, so you may have missed it, this is how that situation unfolded in Southport.
So I want to start off on Saturday, December 27th, 2025, at approximately 9:30. Members of the Southport Police Department were dispatched to calls of shots fired with multiple injuries at the American Fish Company at 150 Yacht Basin Drive here in Southport. Reports came in rapidly of a boat sitting in the waterway, reports of a subject shooting multiple patrons of the establishment. Unfortunately, three were wounded fatally. We have five injured that are at area hospitals still receiving care. The boat fled the ICW toward the Oak Island Bridge. Shortly after 10 p.m., the Coast Guard observed a single individual matching the description of the shooter loading their boat at a public boat ramp in the area of Northeast 55th Street on Oak Island. Coast Guard crews detained the suspect, who was held at the Oak Island Police Department before being turned over to several members there, including the Southport Police Department, Brunswick County Sheriff's Office, Marine Fisheries, and the Oak Island Police Department, also the SBI that were assisting us in these various locations. Suspect is a Nile Max Edge. He's been arrested and charged with three counts of first-degree murder, five counts of attempted first-degree murder, and five counts of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury. There are additional charges pending. This is still a very active investigation. But there's a couple of things that I want to point out to you today before I turn it over to some of these individuals behind me. Some facts that we have at this time is that we believe that this was a targeted location. That he acted in what we call a lone wolf. He acted alone. This is highly premeditated from what we're seeing at this time, and we feel there are no other threats to our community, that we do have someone in custody. So that's what's important, that I want the community to know, that we do have someone in custody, and we feel like we have no other threats at this time. Still a very active investigation, I want to point that out. We're asking that anyone who was at the establishment last night, those who may have been at the establishment on Friday night, to call our office, the Southport Police Department, at 910-457-7911. Again, when we arrived last night, it was a very chaotic scene. We had people that had fled the scene before officers were arriving. We did have some injured that walked into our local hospital here on Howe Street. So we are still trying to get these folks in. We need to talk to them. Anyone who may have video of the incident. We're asking you to reach out to our police department. Again, call us at 910-457-7911. We understand this suspect identifies as a combat veteran. He self-identifies. Injured in the line of duty is what he's saying. He suffers from PTSD. We want to point those facts out. But again, the bottom line is that I want to assure our community that we feel like we do have our suspect in custody. And again, we're asking for your assistance. So those are two of the things I want to make sure and reiterate before I turn the microphone over to Sheriff Chisholm to please call our office if you have any videos or if you were there last night and we have not talked to you. We've been talking to multiple people. Again, we've had an outpouring of support from multiple agencies. Some 60 to 80 officers were here last night helping us, and we have still a lot of folks here that are continuing with its investigation. So at this time, I'll turn the mic over to Sheriff Chisholm.
Good morning. As Chief Cord mentioned, our hearts and prayers and thoughts go out to the family of the victims of this tragic incident. We stand with Southport PD. This is the place that I grew up, so it's a place that I hold near and dear to my heart, like many people in this room. And I want all of you in this room, I challenge you, do not let this define Southport. You have great men and women standing behind me, and I am so proud of my coworkers and Southport PD, SBI, all the federal partners, Oak Island PD, everybody that came and responded came together to get this guy in custody so quickly. I am very proud of them, and my heart goes out to them because they were here, they had to see this. Just know that we have all of our resources and they are available to Southport PD. And I just want to thank again all the partners that were there last night and the ones that are here today and for their quick response and just the quick end to this tragedy. Thank you.
Charlie Morris, the Oak Island Police Department. Thank you, Sheriff. Just to reiterate a couple things that the Sheriff and Chief Coring said, we have a close-knit community here. I certainly do not want this incident to define who we are, because that is not us. This is a person that has acted alone. We feel confident right now, even though we're in the preliminary stages of the investigation. We feel like that this person acted alone, and there's no one else involved. Last night, our witnesses that were on the scene observed a white center console boat travel south or southwest, leaving the area. Our Coast Guard partners were patrolling along with our sheriff's office and encountered a boat down at the 55th Street boat access in Oak Island. The officers got out and made contact with Mr. Edge, and as a result of that, during the investigation, he was detained and taken into custody. Another thing that I would like to reiterate is, yes, Nigel Edge is a resident of Oak Island. We are familiar with him at the police department. So I want to acknowledge that as well. So I don't think I have anything else, but God bless our victims. God bless our community. And we wish our victims that are suffered injuries a speedy recovery.
I'm going to pause it at least right there. That's the Oak Island Police Chief. You'll hear from the district attorney and a couple of other folks as we continue through this news conference that took place. But one of the things in discussion here, and you heard it from the Brunswick County Sheriff, is and just from the Oak Island Police Chief, that this individual whose name is now Nigel Edge has had consistent run-ins with law enforcement in Oak Island. Nigel Edge is, I believe, that is his now, this individual's legal name, but that was not his legal name. The individual also, as you're hearing from law enforcement, a combat veteran, suffered from PTSD, was shot overseas while in the line of duty, and suffers from severe PTSD, at least according to law enforcement, from some other commentary that I have had the opportunity to pick up on over the last couple of days. This individual, who previously went by a different name, was severely wounded back in 2006 during a deployment to Iraq, at least according to some of the details that are readily available on this scene. And that PTSD is likely to play a, in all likelihood, I'm just speculating at this point, but that is likely to, at least from my vantage point, probably play a major role as this investigation takes place. We still do not know the names of any of the victims. There was some early reports, unsubstantiated, but early reports that this targeted attack was potentially against some family members. We have not seen any official confirmation from law enforcement as to whether that is the case or not. So we'll continue to track that more from the press conference yesterday in Southport.
Good morning. Chris Brunzel, special agent in charge with the State Bureau of Investigation. I don't think it can be said enough, and I join our partners in offering our prayers to the families of the victims who were murdered and injured last night during these tragic events that happened in Southport. I want to thank the men standing behind me and all of our local, state, federal, and every other partner that we have, U.S. Coast Guard, that responded last night. Without these partnerships, we would not be able to stand in front of you to announce the arrest of this individual today. I also want to commend the men and women from all over the county and all over the state that responded to this incident last night. It's through their hard work that we were able to make this happen. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is District Attorney John David. Evil has come ashore in Southport, North Carolina. Ironically enough, at the very place which once served as a backdrop to the movie Safe Haven. And that name is symbolic of the way in which the people in our community view this area. The thin veneer of peace and tranquility which has enveloped this idyllic waterfront community was shattered last night by gunfire that came from the water. When the dust settled, 8 people were shot, 3 of them are dead, and at least one is now clinging for their life. I want to tell you that the group of people that stand behind me now awoke this morning with a firm resolve to seek maximum justice in this case. I will tell you that the men and women of law enforcement worked quickly and in team-like fashion to give us the tools that we need to be effective in a courtroom. And that process will begin literally tomorrow with the first appearance of Nigel Edge. Now, there's a lot that prosecutors under the rules of North Carolina's professional rules are not permitted to say. We can talk a lot more about process than we can about facts. But you know something about the core nucleus of operative facts. I want to tell you a little bit about what the road ahead looks like. But before I do that, let me say first and foremost that my office prides itself on something that we refer to as the police prosecutor team approach. It's a highly collaborative process that requires us at the front end to work very closely. I personally arrived at the scene at about 11 o'clock last night. I saw with my own eyes the horror which has occurred in this case. I was joined by my first assistant, Jenna Early, my investigator, Charlie Lyles, and I'm so grateful for the incredible law enforcement response, the incredible response to the first arriving medical folks who did their best to limit further damage and loss of life. It was really heartening to witness that play out in real time. So tomorrow we are going to be in a courtroom, and then and for the first time, we're going to be able to talk about the facts. In the fullness of time, the truth will emerge in a courtroom, and that's where I'm going to be doing the majority of my talking. He will be given a first appearance. He is currently charged with 3 counts of first degree murder, 5 counts of attempted murder, and 5 counts of assault with a deadly weapon, intent to kill, inflicting serious injury. I anticipate that additional charges could be forthcoming. And so we are going to be moving forward in that process tomorrow. He is currently held without bond. It is my hope and expectation that that will remain tomorrow and throughout this process. I will say that North Carolina is a state for which the death penalty is a potential, and my office does seek it in appropriate cases. I want you to know that there is a process in place within my office to scrupulously review the facts and circumstances of every homicide offense that comes through our door. I have a team of senior prosecutors that meet as part of a death penalty review committee, and we make sure that we thoroughly evaluate the facts and the law on a case-by-case basis. We do that to ensure that we make our decisions on the basis of the fact and law and not emotion, because it should go without saying this is a very emotional time for a lot of people. And we want to continue to embrace the process that has served us so well over the 15 years that I've been fortunate enough to be your elected district attorney. To sort of paint the picture of what occurred last night, the incident location where this occurred, the American Fish Company, which I've already indicated to you was quite literally the backdrop for the movie Safe Haven, had live music going on last night. There is an outdoor deck which faces the water, and there was a lot of people out there last night just enjoying live music under the stars. The thread that connects everyone who's a victim in this case to this point just appears to be a love of having a good time and enjoying all that Southport has to offer. Sadly, a lot of the victims in this case appear to be not members of our community, but people who are here on vacation.
I'm going to stop the you're listening to the district attorney there. That's John David, who is the Brunswick and Columbus County District Attorney at this news conference that took place yesterday. And that is one of the quotes from the DA that makes this story even sadder than it already is. Of course, you've got 3 people that lost their lives. It is a tragedy, no doubt. But to hear that some of the victims, potentially all of them, it's not immediately clear yet, were visiting, maybe for the first time, Southport, North Carolina, which for anybody that has been to Southport, I've had the pleasure of being down there, I don't even know how many times, a countless amount of times. It is a small, very tight-knit, very chill, very lax community. I mean, you know, you look at outside of the 4th of July, the official North Carolina 4th of July Festival, which brings hundreds of thousands of people to the area. Outside of that, when you go to Southport, even during a busy summer month, it is a small, sleepy, and that's not, I don't mean that in a bad way, but a small, sleepy town. It's a great place to visit. Beautiful scenes, great restaurants, great folks in and around, all the local shop owners, just a beautiful area. And to hear that some of the victims are not local and visiting this area, and as you heard from pretty much everybody thus far, they don't want this event to define Southport. That's really tough when you find out that some of the victims are not folks that are local, but folks visiting this area potentially for the first time. More from John David.
And just to anticipate one of the questions that I imagine that you have, that's one of the very reasons why when we took out these warrants early this morning, we used only initials for people's names rather than their full name. Some of the victims' families live out of state, and as district attorney, I wanted to ensure that we made proper notifications to them before they're hearing about it on the news. And so that is why the arrest warrants you have contain only initials at this juncture. Tomorrow, I expect you're going to be hearing more about potentially the identity of some of the victims, and you're going to hear more of the facts that underlie the investigation. But I can't overstate how quickly this investigation unfolded. I'm very heartened by the fact that law enforcement was able to make an immediate apprehension. I'm confident, based on what I now know, that we got the right guy and that he acted alone. I will tell you that we ask for some grace because we're only in the first 14 hours of this investigation. And in my experience as being a prosecutor, and I'm now in my 30th year of being a prosecutor, facts frequently change, they evolve. And so I allow for the possibility that we're going to learn substantial new information in the coming days and weeks. But having said that, I think we now know a core nucleus of operative facts. And I feel very confident as I stand before you today that law enforcement has given us the tools that we need to be effective. With that, we will entertain a couple of questions. Again, with the guardrails in place being facts are still being developed, and there's a lot we can't say consistent with the ethical rules under 3.8 and 3.6. So are there any questions? Yes, ma'am. In fact, he did. Mr. Niall Edge actually changed his name some years ago, and so we are looking to identify, you know, all of his past. And there's going to be questions about his past. Chief Morris already said that he's a resident of Oak Island, and he was well known to law enforcement. He wasn't quite as well known in the criminal court system. There are some minor contacts over the years, but nothing significant in his past, which would give us any indication that he was capable of such horror. There have been a number of civil suits that he's instituted against people, and he's had some minor brushes with the law, but to this point, we're unaware of any significant criminal history. Again, we're going to check out of state, and it's early on in the investigation, but as I stand before you today, I'm unaware of that. Yes, ma'am.
Is gun crime like this common in this area? Do you think
Yeah, so the question is this common in our area? I'll tell you that violent crime is virtually non-existent in the city of Southport. This is an idyllic waterfront community that really enjoys a reputation for being a very peaceful and tranquil place. Again, I've been a prosecutor for 30 years. I've started out my career in Miami, Florida, and then I was for a decade an assistant district attorney in Wilmington, North Carolina. So I'm not unacquainted with violent crime. Bad things happen to good people wherever you live, and I'm reminded of that today. But this would be remarkable anywhere, but particularly in a place that was called Safe Haven.
Yes. Again, cannot understate the points there being made by the district attorney. You visit Southport, and you walk the streets, you enjoy the shops, the restaurants, maybe you're enjoying something like the North Carolina 4th of July Festival, and then to imagine the situation that unfolded Saturday night where this individual by the name of Nigel Max Edge decided to pull up his boat to the American Fish Company restaurant and begin unloading on a crowd that was dining and watching a musical performance. As the district attorney noted, obviously these are, it's sad when a situation unfolds like this anywhere, but especially in a place like Southport, it seems to be different. It's almost, there's almost a level of inability to comprehend something like this happening in a town like Southport. If you've ever had the opportunity to visit, and by the way, if you haven't, I would encourage you to do so if you are a Southeastern North Carolina resident. It is a beautiful city here across Southeastern North Carolina.
Sure. So the question was asked, is there a motive at this point? And let me be clear, people frequently want to know what happened and why. As prosecutors in a courtroom, we have to prove intent. Intent and motive are very different things. We don't actually have to prove motive. We don't know why people do what they do. You can chase the ghost of why all over a courtroom and never catch it. That's going to be part of a comprehensive investigation as we look towards his reason for doing this, but we have to prove criminal intent and not motive. Yes, ma'am. So that's a fact-specific question. I'm going to allow Chief Coring to talk a little bit more about the facts if that's something that he chooses to do, but I hope you understand as a prosecutor I can't answer that. But Chief, is there anything you want to say about firearms?
Again, it's early in the investigation, but we know that it's an assault rifle, but I have not looked at anything else pertaining to the weapons right now.
Questions for Chief Morris. If you could just, is there anything more you can say about what was known to you guys, how was he known to you guys?
So, yes, we were familiar with Sean. He has been a resident of Oak Island for several years. He frequently hung out on our pier. Our employees knew him. And so, yeah, we were just familiar with him. He has filed a lawsuit, set numerous lawsuits on the town, on the police department, within the last couple years. Yes, sir.
Did he self-identify as a veteran? Did he serve in the military at all?
Yes, he has. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so we executed a search warrant last night in collaboration with the SBI in Southport and the Sheriff's Office, and his vehicle was searched along with his boat and residence. And I won't go into specifics about what was recovered. However, there were firearms, and if the SBI would like to elaborate on that a little more, since they are the agency that took possession of those weapons, I'll let them discuss that. Yeah, so the question is, you know, when he was encountered by the Coast Guard and law enforcement, what was he doing? That information was put out last night about the boat, which is very vague. That's a very vague description. There was no other descriptions other than a white center console boat that we were able to push out. Our Coast Guard partners, which the Coast Guard station is in very close proximity to here, were patrolling the area along with the Sheriff's Office. And as they were patrolling, they located a white boat at our boat access, our 55th Street boat access. At the time of his encounter, he was loading the boat up. And that's when we engaged him in a conversation and ultimately detained him and then ultimately took him into custody.
And he lives on Oak Island or is off?
Yes, he is a resident that lives on the island, yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, I'm not going to speak on that. I'll let Chief Coring or the SBI will defer that question to them. Thank you. Yes?
Do you know when the restaurant will reopen?
No, I don't have that. Chief Coring would be more appropriate to answer that question.
That pretty much wraps up this news conference that took place yesterday, which included a wide gambit of individuals. You heard from the State Bureau of Investigation, which obviously gets involved when you've got a situation like this unfolding. You've heard from the Brunswick County Sheriff, the Southport Police Chief, the Oak Island Police Chief, and District Attorney John David, as there is a full law enforcement presence ongoing in this case right now. Again, the sad news to pass along is that an individual by the name of Max Edge, Nigel Max Edge, who previously went by another name, Sean DeVoice, decided to, at least is alleged by law enforcement, to have opened fire on the American Fish Company restaurant sometime late Saturday night, killing three individuals, injuring at least eight others. We do not have any additional information about the victims, who they are, where they're from, or the individuals that are in the hospital, how serious those injuries are. John David seemed to indicate that throughout the day today on Monday that we would get some additional information, as the district attorney's office have had the, hopefully at this point, will have had the opportunity to reach out to, again, for folks not here, not living in southeastern North Carolina, contact their family members and unfortunately their next of kin and begin the process of providing that information to them. So I would suspect as we go through the day today, we will learn some more details about that. And the News and Observer has got an article up over at their website talking about this individual who, from all accounts all over the place, severely struggled with some level of post-traumatic stress disorder from his service overseas. He wrote a book called Headshot, and it described his second deployment to Iraq in 2006, in which he describes being shot multiple times, taking hit from a shrapnel during an ambush that went on. And from there, you heard from the Oak Island Police Department that this individual had consistently filed civil suits against the city of Oak Island, the law enforcement in Oak Island. The PTSD thread and story is probably going to be something that is obviously a large and probably will end up being a very large thread in this discussion. There's a 2007 article from the Star News in which this individual was interviewed after some treatment he had at NHRMC at the time, talking about some of the issues that he dealt with from his post-traumatic stress disorder. So it's a very interesting story and situation that we are watching unfold. Law enforcement will continue to provide information and details. It's a sad story for Southport, and we'll keep an eye on those details. One of the other things that we're looking at this morning is that the American Fish Company has announced that they are closing indefinitely. That's what the announcement says. Quote, "Our prayers are with the victims, their families, and everyone affected by this tragedy. American Fish Company and Frying Pan," that is a sister restaurant also in Southport, "will close indefinitely as we grieve and seek healing together." So that is also going to be taking or not be taking place. Both the Frying Pan and American Fish Company will be closed indefinitely, according to information from that restaurant, as this tragic situation continues to be understood. We'll keep an eye on the details and, of course, as always, pass them along to you as soon as we get them right here on the show. As we round out our show this Monday morning, I do want to provide you an update on what looked to be some pretty strong level of tropical storm activity that was set to affect southeastern North Carolina over the next couple of days. And fortunately, well, the weather dynamics have changed, and that does not appear that it is really going to be anywhere near what we were looking at last week, as we currently have this tropical storm in Imdalia that is currently a tropical storm, is projected to become a hurricane, but is actually going to be sucked into the circulation that is massive Hurricane Humberto right now, dragging it hundreds of miles off the coast. And as we got a new briefing from the National Weather Service here in Wilmington this morning, they write this: "Confidence remains high with the track and minimal impacts across southeastern North Carolina and northeast South Carolina, with the greatest impacts across the adjacent Atlantic waters." They note and write that confidence remains high that the storm will remain offshore, resulting in only those minimal impacts. And they've got a chart that kind of shows what the timeline could be for some of those. And in terms of wind, surge, tornado risk, those threats are little to none, according to the National Weather Service here in Wilmington. There is the possibility of some minor flooding that will begin as early as today and will last through the day on Tuesday. And then, of course, the marine impacts. Those will be elevated, as they are typically when you've got any sort of tropical system or tropical feature. The rain is beginning to fall right now and will likely do so through the rest of the day today. But as the Weather Service writes, otherwise there is still low potential for flooding along some of the areas. But the main threats due to this storm kind of getting sucked into that other circulation is set to be incredibly minimal across our area. Even rainfall totals, some areas or some early forecast models showed 7, 8, 9 inches of rain. And across our greater area this morning, expecting somewhere between 1 and 2 inches of rain at the absolute most. And so with that, there will not be any major flooding issues or anything with an inch or two of rainfall. That's a relatively normal amount of rain, so no major issues there. This is the latest briefing from the National Weather Service. This came out early this morning, 5:15 this morning, so this is pretty up to date. The latest information from the National Hurricane Center. We are definitely dodging this one. Not that it was ever expected to be a disastrous tropical storm or low grade hurricane, but all of the forecast modeling, as we were together late last week, showed a situation with this storm coming very close to shore, and that is fortunately just not materializing. Here are the latest stats. As you can see, the system just off the east coast of Florida this morning and north at 8 miles an hour. That pressure sits at 996 millibars, winds 45 miles an hour. As you can see, some of the bloom in convection from this storm system that fortunately is not going to have any major immediate impacts on the north or South Carolina coast. And again, from a weather modeling perspective and standpoint, this is the latest model runs. And you can see that the all of these lines so tight together in this area show a situation in which we are not going to have to deal with any major impacts from this storm, just due to what everything is looking like right now. This system is just going to get sucked into that other circulation. So good news for southeastern North Carolina as we begin to wrap up the Atlantic hurricane season. We'll keep an eye on all of the details and provide them as soon as we get anything relevant or new. As the tropics do continue to churn, we'll pass those details along to you right here. I do want to let you know, and I do want to thank our great advertisers that make this show possible each and every weekday morning. That includes the law group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether maybe you're looking to buy a first home, a second home, any sort of real estate transactions, the law group has your back and they're ready to serve you. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. And great news, they're located in our backyard. They are members of our community. Melissa Gott and the great team over at the Law Group. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088. Or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support here of the Nick Craig Show. We will have our monthly hangout for those Patreon members. That'll be coming up tomorrow night. Originally, I was looking at maybe postponing it due to the tropical storm or hurricane activity. Now that that threat is gone, we're back on for tomorrow night. So if you are not a member of the Patreon, you can go ahead and do that before tomorrow night and get access to not only our daily show notes, but those monthly hangouts. So we'll get together around 7 o'clock, chat for a few hours about what's going on. That'll be taking place tomorrow night. Patreon.com/Nick Craig. We're also watching a House Judiciary Committee meeting that will be taking place in Charlotte today. This coming off the heels of the murder of Irina Zaruska on the Charlotte light rail. We'll keep an eye on details on that. Plus the looming government shutdown as President Donald Trump is telling Democrats in Washington, D.C., come with a legitimate plan or don't bother coming at all. So facing that as well, a lot of news as we head into the last couple of days of September and turn the calendar over to October here on Wednesday. So we'll keep you up to date with all of that. That's going to do it for a Monday edition. Keep those folks in Southport, both the locals and visitors that dealt with that horrific tragedy over the weekend, in your thoughts and prayers. We'll do it again tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts.